Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Increasing the value of you.
Here we go. Eli Manning takes the snap. Four-man rush. Manning looks to his right, fires his right side, and it is incomplete. Down at the 8-yard line. Benny Fowler had it broken up by Micah Hyde. He drilled him. He drilled him and knocked the ball loose. Incomplete. What a play by Micah Hyde. We're going to make that the electric play of the game.
All right, well, that's going to be something to talk about when Micah Hyde joins us here on the Wester Hotline in a moment. Well, I'll let you know that Micah's appearance with us here on WGR as part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown, by Arthur Pressman, Western New York traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice.com, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Micah Hyde with us now. Micah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I want to talk about that hit, yes. I just clicked follow on Twitter for you. Now,
nice.
Am I going to get paid off here? Like,
what is that going to be like?
I'm not that good of a follower on Twitter. I'm not too active. I'm gonna pick it up now that you're following me, though.
All right.
And really step my game up. So you got that for sure.
I just feel like, you know, athletes can be very interesting people, and often are very interesting people, but they can't. Maybe this is the wrong way to put it. Just maybe can't be themselves on Twitter.
A lot of the time. I mean, some topics, actually a lot of topics, you know, they can't really be themselves, because, you know, that's when the people step in and say, you know, shut up, play football. That's kind of ridiculous. You know, you're following a person because you want to get to know them, but when they start having an opinion, it kind of backfires. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's a great opportunity for people to get to know, you know, athletes. And, you know, I kind of use my social media for a travel. I do a lot of traveling in the off season, so I use it for that. And yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you're talking about, like, haters or whatever, but also, like, there might be things you want to say. I don't know. Like, I'm just this way naturally. I can't keep it in. Like, I just have to say it sometimes, like, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe your team wouldn't want you to say what you're thinking all the time. But I don't know. Like, are you the type of person that has to bite your lip, or do you sort of just kind of roll with it?
No. I don't. I mean, I'm not the person that's just, like, you know, writing out a tweet and then deleting it. I don't necessarily do that. You know, I use my Twitter for you know, information. I follow people that, you know, whether if it's news, you know, sports, whatever it may be. I don't go out and just, you know, follow somebody that's just saying ridiculous stuff, because then I might comment back, and I kind of, you know, just take that whole situation away.
Yeah, you think it through and realize it's not going to be worth it.
Exactly.
Well, you're coming home here. You're home, obviously, but you're coming home. Home opener on Sunday, and 2-0. I know it's week to week. And that's how you guys have to live. But boy, sitting here all summer, Micah, one thing you should know about me, I mean, it's not that interesting, but, like, every day after the schedule comes out, I stare at it. Like, it's just here. It's one of the things. It's a window that's open on my desktop all the time, just in case I ever need it. So I just look at it, and we'll talk about it intermittently. And it's always been a fast start with something that would really be maybe necessary this year, considering what the back end of the schedule looks like. There's some tougher looking road games, and you can't do better than 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, we followed up the first road win with another one. It was kind of weird playing to the same venue back to back weeks, but, you know, we felt like home. It felt like home, I'm saying. And, you know, it's always hard to win in this league. I don't think people understand the outside. You know, all these power rankings and stuff come out. I'm sure they're already out. It's week two. I mean, they're out in April. So, you know, of course they're out now. And so people see, you know, this team facing this team, and you know, so-and-so should win. But it's hard to get a win each and every week in this league. And on top of that, to go on the road 2 weeks in a row and get, you know, back-to-back wins is awesome. You know, you, of course, we're coming home now, and you can't wait to get in front of Bills Mafia, and it's gonna be wild. I can't wait to the first third down and just to feel how loud it is. Again, Tim was just talking about it right now, but you know we're excited, but we know it's day to day. We have to get better each and every day, and you know the Bengals are our next opportunity.
One of the things I was thinking about a lot last week with that game was sometimes sports teams and people are really superstitious, so. Would you guys wear the same clothes to the game or the same stay in the same room? We were talking to Sal Capaccio frequently about that.
Yeah, so I'm a little superstitious. I feel like I don't have like a pregame routine, and I don't have to, you know, eat this certain thing. I don't have anything like that. But you know, it was good to actually walk into the same hotel room, the same one I stayed at last weekend. And I walked in, I put my bags down. I was like, wow, like this is actually pretty cool. Like, it's something you don't get to experience, you know, very often, other than just staying at a home game and having the same hotel room. But yeah, it was cool. And you know, I know a lot of guys around the league are superstitious, so it was good just to have that feeling.
Well, we played a clip of the one hit you had on the sideline near the end zone in this game, and I definitely wanted to bring this up already. So I just wonder what. One question I have about it is, if you have felt that you have to change what you do in that moment over the years, like we watch the games and we hear about safety and we see penalties that sometimes seem pretty random, but like in the moment, do you have to? What are you thinking about? And is it something that's been hard for you to whatever extent, Micah, to sort of get used to?
No, I feel like, you know, those bang bang plays. As long as you keep your head out of it, and you kind of, you know, lead it with your shoulder, you know, you should be fine. Well, I guess in years past, you know, I haven't been put in that position to kind of really blow somebody up over the middle. You know, I kind of come in here in Buffalo when the, you know, first time I actually started playing safety, like just full time. And so I've never really been put in that position, but just knowing myself and knowing, you know, just being, you know, coached with technique, you should never lead with your head. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes there's instances where a receiver will catch the ball and kind of, you know, like ball up. And so he lowers his, you know, his head a little bit, and that's when it gets kind of sticky because, you know, you see a lot, the defensive player gets the fine. But the offensive player is kind of the one that's catching it and getting his head down. And if he didn't put his head down, then it would be a clean hit. So, you know, stuff like that, you know, you got to go out there and play fast. You can't worry about if you're going to get a fine or if you're going to, you know, head-to-head. You just got to go out there and play with the best technique you can. Lead with your chest, lead with your face mask. And from there, whatever happens, happens. Because at the end of the day, if you try to go out there and do all that, so definitely going to, number one, miss tackles, number two, possibly hurt yourself. So, you know, you've got to go out there and play fast and not worry about anything like that.
Micah, from a distance, it appears to me, just watching football since, like, the early weeks of last season to now, with 2 weeks in the books now this year, for all the talk about this, lowering the crown of the helmet and the way the preseason went, again, last year, last summer, I'm wondering if you sense it being officiated or ruled differently. Like, has it been de-emphasized again, or do you think maybe guys have already adapted to what the fouls were going to be?
I think we've already adapted. I think we understand, you know, where the game was going. You know, it's tough as a defensive player. You know, you feel like, I think I said it in years past, and it was pretty funny because the media kind of held on to it. But I was like, man, you need to find these quarterbacks for making some of these throws because, you know, we're out there trying to play fast and go after the football. And at the same time, you know, you know, people want us to have that old-school mentality. Like, you know, the guys coming across the middle, you got to make them feel it. But it's the days have changed. It's not that old school. You can't just key off on somebody that's going over the middle because that's when, you know, these fines and all, you know, players, you know, player safety and all that stuff, you know, guys getting hurt. So it's tough, but like I said, you've got to go out there and play fast, and I think guys are adjusting to that, and you know, the coaches are doing a good job of practice, teaching the techniques of keeping your head up and playing smart.
Speaking of guys getting hurt, like, do you know you put a hit like you put on Pollard that we already discussed, and there's another play I want to ask you about here as well that maybe was just shortly thereafter. But do you know when you've hit a guy, like, is there a sound that they make that you know, like, man, I really got him good?
Yeah, there definitely is. You know, there's times even for myself that I'm hitting somebody else, and I make the sound. It's kind of like the wind's leaving your stomach. Yeah. So you just So, you know, you don't ever want to necessarily, you know, make that sound yourself. But yeah, yesterday I delivered that, and I was able to hear the sound that he made. But yeah, it was, I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody.
Sure.
It was a clean hit, and it was just one of those bang-bang plays you got to make a play on.
The other play I'm curious about involved Jordan Poyer and another Giants receiver. I don't remember who it was. And you were in the vicinity, but were not involved in the tackle. But it looked like their helmets hit. And you appeared, it's tough to tell on TV, that as they showed a replay, it sort of clipped off just as you were about to do the thing I thought I saw you do live, which was gesture to the sideline almost immediately because you thought somebody was injured.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was doing.
Came
up and hit him. And it was kind of one of those things, like I was just saying, he caught the ball and he understands the middle, so he balls up. And so his head kind of lowers, and that's what causes, you know, kind of the head to the, you know, the head to the side of his helmet or whatever.
Right.
And as soon as he fell, you know, you kind of see, I saw the ball kind of like, it was in his arm, but his hands were holding tight to it, and he was definitely out. And so I was telling the refs, because last thing happened, the guy came in trying to crack me, which if I would have did to him would have been illegal and I would have had a fine. But that's, you know, offense versus defense, whatever. And so he tried to crack me, and the same thing happened. He was out, like he was on the top, and he tried to stand up. His legs were wobbly, and he was trying to go to the next play. And I tell the you know, we all the guys in secondary told the ref, like, yo, you got to get him off. Like, he's, you know, not with us right now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of getting to the point where, you know, guys want to be in the game. They, you know, they have that, you know, toughness mentality, and they want to keep going. But at the end of the day, it's like, yo, like, it's about your health. So if it takes me to try to tell the ref to get him off the field, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, actually after that play, the ref came up to me and said, hey, thanks. We can see it right away, blah, blah, blah. And they were able to get him off the field. Anuma or whatever his name is, Jets, where he's out for the season now with that neck injury. So I think it happened on that play, and he ends up coming back in the game. So it's just like it's a fine line. You never really know when somebody's banged up. You know, you're not in their hands, but I'm gonna do everything I can to try to help the situation, help the refs out, help, you know, whoever's spotting from up top, because, you know, safety is a big thing in the game though.
And it is really tricky. We were watching Sunday Night Football last night, and the Eagles center, it's Kelsey, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sideline. Yeah, I didn't see it happen, but they went to Michelle Tafoya for an update on injuries, and then Al Michaels just very matter-of-factly said, yeah, we watched him go to the wrong sideline, but he's cleared the protocol, and he's back in the game. And my son, who's an athlete, and he's had a couple of concussions, said to me, he went to the wrong sideline and he cleared the protocol? Like, what exactly is the protocol? Like, I mean, that's tough.
I mean, it's not my job. I can't say,
right.
You know, these guys, they do everything they can. You know, they're trained professionals to do everything they can to get these guys to allow them to, you know, clear and go back in the game. But like I said, you're not in somebody's body. You can't sense what they're feeling. And a lot of guys, most of the time, yo, I just got banged up a little bit. I'm good.
Yep.
And, you know, they don't really know if they have a concussion or not. It's such a fine line between getting banged up and a concussion. We're hitting on every single play, and so at any given play, you can get banged up. So, you know, maybe the you know, players think they're just banged up, and so they're answering the questions correctly. They're not showing any signs of, you know, being concussed, and, you know, the guy's putting back on the field, and, you know, there's an investigation going on now with Shepard from the Giants. You know, clearly on film he was out, and then he went back in the game. And it's like, there has to be, you know, whatever guys on the field, like I did the week one, like telling the refs, like, no, yeah, you have to get him out. Like, maybe, you know, that has to happen more often. But there's just, it's a fine line that, you know, we're through the NFL, the NFLPA, whoever has to figure it out.
With Micah Hyde, Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. So, Josh Allen, Micah, like, the Bills have this vibe right now with Allen, and overall, like, everybody's just in love. It's like a, it sounds like a love fest, and everybody just, every story is just one more example of that. And I'm just curious, I think about what kind of an effort or whatever was made, like, within the organization to, like, starting at whatever time, when Allen was drafted or put in, whatever, like, that it's important for the players on the team to back him. Now, a lot of guys might not have needed to be told that. And, you know, if the team is winning and he's doing well, then there's nothing really to talk about. I just wonder, like, so you're a veteran on a team that goes to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor, and the next year, you know, Allen is drafted and Taylor is gone, and, you know, that maybe a veteran player doesn't like that idea. I don't know. Yeah. So what can you tell us from the inside?
That's accurate. You know, a lot of times when young guys step in, and, you know, what if the organization has a plan for that guy, and, you know, the players in the locker room don't really feel the same way, there could be a little backlash. But Josh stepping in since day one, he's been himself. You know, there's never been a time where someone had to question what he was doing. You know, he was a young guy, he was a rookie, but he was still, you know, leading off the field. And even when he wasn't playing early last year, he wasn't playing. He was still doing the right things at practice and doing all that. And so once you see he's kind of, you know, what type of person he is and the competitive nature, he's 23 years old, but he's a kid. And I'm 28 now, so I'm able to say that. I'm in my seventh year. And he's a kid, and he's out there having fun just competing. And we love that about him. Like, we love what he brings to the table each and every game. Like, we know even week one, he didn't have the best game, but that's our quarterback. You know, he's going to make mistakes, and he's going to have growing pains. But that's why, you know, as a defensive player, we know, hey, if he's going through those growing pains, let's get him out. Let's get him out of them. And even, you know, yesterday at the game, they were making, you know, some plays and scoring some touchdowns. And that's when, you know, our defense, you know, has to step up, and, you know, we have to really shut them down, get him the ball back. So, you know, there's a lot of things that play into it. But Josh as a person, you know, we love what he brings to our team and as a leader.
How hard is that part to get right? It seems like that, because you just, in personalities, you got a lot of guys there. Yeah. I mean, it's 53 guys. It seems 100%. Like that's a tough chemistry equation.
Yeah, and that's where the, you know, where Sean and Bean is doing a great job of there's so many different characteristics, you know, or different characters in a locker room. Now, you have the 53 guys, you have the practice squad guys, you have the coaches, you have, you know, all these people in the locker room, they have to gel together. And so that's why, you know, a lot of times you see fans will see some guy that just gives up a touchdown. But, oh, why is he even on the team? Well, yeah, I mean, it's more than that. Yeah, maybe he shouldn't give up a touchdown, but he brings a lot to this football team. He's a leader of this football team. Like, he's the gel, he's the glue of the, you know, the secondary. Whatever it may be. So, you know, a lot of things play into winning football teams, and that's might be half of it, is making sure all the guys get along and they appreciate each other. And I think that's where this football team is. You know, we like to hang out with each other. You know, whenever the guys get together outside of football, we enjoy each other. We laugh, we joke around, we make fun. You know, we do all that type of stuff. We make sure our families, we make sure that, you know, our wives are hanging out, and that's what Sean has brought to Buffalo. You know, the day one that he stepped in, he mentioned family, he mentioned all the stuff that he wants this organization to be, and it hasn't went away. Like, you know, we have our family get-togethers, we have all this stuff. He always includes family and everything, and he makes sure that, you know, we're all just one big family.
Now, the wives can sometimes have an interesting Twitter feed. Because you know, I mean,
that's above me. I had nothing to say about that.
I think last week the first place that I saw the Henry Anderson cheap shot on Josh was from Stephen Hauschka's wife's Twitter feed. Like it just somehow got retweeted into my feed, and like that was who it was, yeah. The same guy blindsided her husband last year and injured him. So like you know, there's one way to get your news.
The wives don't have the same regulations as the players, right?
No, not at all. But the players might have to deal with what the wives.
Yeah, right. So, from both directions.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. So my wife didn't have a Twitter, thank God. So we're good on that front. We don't have to worry about that.
All right.
Before you go, we got about a minute here, Micah. What do you know about the Bengals?
Well, they have some explosive plays. Obviously, a guy like Rawls can take the top off. He has, you know, in the first two games already has plenty of explosive plays. Mm-hmm. You know, they got elite quarterback, which you know Buffalo actually really loves.
Yep.
This is a good football team. I think that the record doesn't indicate what they are. You know, they're kind of getting into a new offense, trying to get the feel, and trying to get gel and get that down. So it's going to be a huge opportunity for us, huge challenge for us coming back first home game. It's going to be electric, but we can't get too overhyped. We got to stay the course, pound each and every day of practice, and come Sunday, go out there and play our best football.
Very good, Micah. Any questions for us today?
Nothing at all, man.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Micah Hyde on Twitter, by the way, at Micah_Hyde, if you want it.
His appearance here, again, part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, yourtickettojustice.com, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.